From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes the first of two messages entitled The Day of Pentecost, part of this series in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Limitless Riches. The text is Philippians 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul's God is our God and will supply all our need. Paul felt sure of this in reference to the Philippians, and we feel sure of it as to ourselves. God will do it, for it is like him. He loves us. He delights to bless us, and it will glorify him to do so. His pity, his power, his love, his faithfulness all work together that we be not famished. What a measure does the Lord go by, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The riches of his grace are large. But what shall we say of the riches of his glory? His riches of glory by Christ Jesus. Who shall form an estimate of this? According to this immeasurable measure, will God fill up the immense abyss of our necessities. He makes the Lord Jesus the receptacle and the channel of his fullness, and then he imparts to us his wealth of love in its highest form. Hallelujah! The writer knows what it is to be tried in the work of the Lord. Fidelity has been recompensed with anger, and liberal givers have stopped their subscriptions. But he whom they sought to oppress has not been one penny the poorer. Nay, rather, he has been the richer. For this promise has been true. My God shall supply all our need. God's supplies are surer than any bank. this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Opening verses of Acts chapter 2 set the stage for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. This was a day which changed the course of history, something which only God could accomplish. A small band of weak and insignificant people were used of God to change the world. As the chapter opens, we find them still waiting upon the Lord in prayer. This is always where the believer's instrumentality for God begins. The descent of the Holy Spirit was marked by two phenomena, the wind and the fire. The suddenness of the wind reminds us that God often works suddenly in manifesting his power and in the salvation of souls. The fire symbolized God's person and presence. In addition, the fire represents the passion needed in preaching the gospel. The great need of the Church of Jesus Christ is the fire of God upon the proclamation of his word. Now, to conclude the first of two messages entitled The Day of Pentecost, here is Dr. Cairns.
While we can just saunter through life without a broken and burdened heart for the work of God and for the souls of men, we're not anywhere near revival. Oh, may the wind of God come breaking us today. Then there's a lovely passage in Ezekiel 37. It's the Valley of Dry Bones. What happened? Verse 9, prophesy to the wind. The wind. Of course, the Hebrew scriptures, the wind and the spirit, are the same word. The wind is the very good emblem, then, of the spirit. And here's the emblem of the Spirit of God coming upon the bones that have been dead and dry, and He gives life to them. Oh, that's what we need today. May the Lord indeed come with the wind of God. Then finally, and very quickly, let's look at the fire, the witness of the Lord. When the Lord sent the wind, He sent the fire as well. The Lord Jesus Christ was going, according to the promise, to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And here we have the fire. Verse 3. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now that's a nice thing for us to emphasize. Each of them. It's very rarely you ever get a church really in revival. It's very rarely you'll ever get everybody interested in praying and everybody interested in going through with God. I have never known it. I don't know any other preacher who has ever known it. But I know it happened on the day of Pentecost. The Lord fell on every single one of them. Wasn't one Christian left out. Fell with fire. What a witness that was. Now, we're not going to do a Bible study on it because we'd be here all day. The fire in Scripture is the witness to God's person. Our God, Hebrews 12:29, is a consuming fire. And therefore it is the witness to the Lord's presence. When you turn to Genesis 15 and 7, you will remember that there in that strange vision, Abram met with the Lord in the fire. In Exodus 3 and verse 2, in the backside of the desert, Moses saw the bush that burned with fire. It was the Lord's presence that was therefore signified. In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 1, the Lord showed His presence at the dedication of the temple when the fire fell upon the sacrifice that was given. It's the emblem of the Lord's person and of the Lord's presence. It is also the emblem of the purity of the Lord and that He brings to His people. I have already mentioned the book of Malachi, chapter 3, and the sudden revival that there is promised. I think you should emphasize one particular aspect of revival. In verse 2 and verse 3, who may abide the day of His coming? Who shall stand when He appeareth? Strange question about revival, isn't it? So many Christians say, oh Lord, visit us with revival. The Lord came down at this very minute in revival. What would it mean to you? What would it mean? Who could stand or abide the day of God's appearing? Look at what it says. He is like a refiner's fire. Like fuller's soap. Verse 3, He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That's the purification of fire. And when the Holy Ghost falls like fire, it is the witness that God is going through His church and He's purifying it. Why, before there can be blessing, the dross has got to be dealt with. All the accretions of the world have got to be burned out. Oh, that God may fall in that kind of fire today. course, it is the emblem of the power of the Lord, because it blisters all opposition. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is the great prayer of Isaiah chapter 64. I quoted, I suppose, as much, maybe more than most other passages in the Bible. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth. The fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. There's the power of the fire. You have the melting power of the fire. You have the boiling power of the fire. You have the power that can make nations tremble at the word of God. Oh, for that kind of power. Not the power of human ability or oratory, but the power of the fire of Jehovah. It's the emblem of the preaching of the Lord. They were tongues of fire. In other words, fire is for utterance. The fire of the Holy Ghost is to give preaching with passion in the Holy Ghost. I think that the preaching of the modern day, the silken tongue, the golden oratory, the nice turn of phrase that would be used to bolster up man's ego, and make him think that there's a divine spark of goodness in him after all. You know, the usual pulpiteer of the 20th century that makes men feel so good and gives them a lot of positive thinking psychology instead of straight old-fashioned theology. That's not preaching in the Holy Ghost. I don't care if it calls a million people to every service. I don't care if it registers a million decisions every time it's preached. It's not preaching in the Holy Ghost. It's the counterfeit of the Holy Ghost, for the preaching of the Holy Ghost is rugged. Oh, the Lord can use a man with a golden tongue, but he'll set it in fire. And the Lord can use a man who doesn't have a golden tongue and set it on fire as well. But the mark will always be fire and passion and blistering, burning power. That's the power of the Holy Ghost in preaching. Fire of the Holy Ghost wasn't just for a nice demonstration. Fire of the Holy Ghost wasn't just to warm the Christians. Oh, it did all that. The fire of the Holy Ghost wasn't just to make Christians happy, although I'm sure they were happy in the Lord. The fire of the Holy Ghost was given in the shape of a tongue that they might know that their duty in the world is to preach Christ in the rugged fullness of God's power. And I believe, of course, the fire was the witness to the prosperity of the Lord, his promise that they would prosper. The big thing about fire is that once it gets burning, it's very hard to control. If we lived in the parts of the world that are used to great bush fires, like they have in Australia, for instance, you'd find that the best efforts of man to stop it usually amount nothing. And they can bring out the fire tenders. They may as well be spitting on the flame. They don't stop it. When God starts a mighty fire in his church, not all the water hoses of hell will ever stop it. It'll burn in the will of God. It'll burn onward. It'll be like a mighty wave of fire moving across the people and the land, bringing light, bringing heat, burning up the areas of the undergrowth of sin and wickedness, burning out and smoking out the devil's crowd. And there's nothing like fire for bringing all the vermin out of their den. I'll tell you, when revival comes, you'll see all the vermin of the apostasy coming out. We have so much hiding in the church today. I was just thinking of the words of Asaph the psalmist when he was lamenting bitterly before God that the Lord was not making bare his hand. And he was asking the Lord to show himself, because he says, Lord, look at what they have done in thy sanctuary. Look at the destruction in thy sanctuary. Look at the churches today. My, there's not a sorrier sight. You have men in the pulpit that call the Lord Jesus Christ the bastard son of a German soldier. You have others that say he is only an ordinary man, as one stupid old fool of an Irish Presbyterian professor once said back in Belfast, he thought the earth was flat, and if he walked far enough, he'd fall off the edge of it. It's the kind of devil's brood you have in the pulpits today. My, what desolations they have wrought in the sanctuary. I'll tell you, the fire will smoke them out. The fire will get them out. And it will clean them out. When the Lord starts prospering his work, I will get the devil's crowd under his control. The Lord will certainly deal with them. And that's what I'm looking for. Oh, that indeed today it might fall. Waiting upon the Lord. The wind from the Lord. Then the witness of fire. May the Lord grant it to us this day. And even as we pray, may we know something of the power of that prayer meeting that shook the world. May we see God shake the world again in answer to our prayers. Let's bow in prayer. Let's all seek the Lord's face in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee today, and Lord, we confess we're empty in ourselves. Lord, we confess we're just in that position the disciples were in those early days. Lord, if thou wilt not come down upon us, then we have nothing and we are nothing and we can do nothing. But, O Lord, if thou wilt come down, thank God, then we have all we need. O Lord, if thou wilt come down, if thou wilt send the wind from heaven, if thou wilt send the fire upon us, thank God, we will have revival. Lord, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This preacher needs the infilling of the Spirit. Every Christian here needs the infilling of the Spirit. Lord, this congregation needs the visitation of the Holy Spirit. And we ask thee this day in Jesus' name that thou wilt come and answer us. O Lord, hear us now, we pray. O wind of God, come breathe upon us. Fill thy church with life and power. We ask thee, our God, that thou wilt do it today. And as we linger in prayer, grant that we may have a prayer meeting like the disciples had. A prayer meeting that will shake the world for God. Hear us now. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. Be the portion of each and every one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.